The Party in the Back podcast is brought to you by the store at GameOps.com, the home of game operations tools and toys like prize chutes, chuck-a-pucks, t-shirt launchers, and confetti. Make your show scream with everything you need. Available now at thestore.gameops.com.
Welcome to the Party in the Back podcast. If sports marketing was a mullet, the business in the front would be forecasting budgets and measuring ROI, but the party in the back of that mullet would be pies in your face, celebratory bell ringing, and indoor snowstorms. And we are here for that fun side of sports marketing on the Party in the Back. I'm your host, John Kudo, and we're pulling back the curtain on how the most memorable game day moments are made. For more than 35 years, I've been immersed in the world of sports presentation. This month, in part two of the Party in the Back, we look at the best and most interesting game presentation elements from 2025 and give kudos to the folks who are out there making in-game magic. In 2025, we replaced the award culture with something more playful and light, replacing best with memorable and remarkable. Five industry leaders join me to turn the tables and reward greatness with our admiration. Out with the best of awards, in with kudos to you. Five great conversations, so much to work through, we had to make it two parts. Now, in part two, I'm joined by Amanda Greco, Rob Wyckoff, and Canadian national treasure, Cameron Hughes. We're here to dish out some well-earned kudos for remarkable work in 2025. Don't forget to check out the homepage this month on GameOps.com with our Kudos to You page with links and highlights from these conversations and so much more. Let's get the party started with our guest, Amanda Greco. Today's kudos to you. Another one of our kudos to you guests is Amanda Greco, who I have enjoyed so much the last few years as she's been on our roundtable on the Best of Awards. She was the first name, I believe, that I thought of in terms of adding to this list of people to come in and talk about an award, to give her an award to give away, and her discretion totally how we do this, because that's what we're doing. It's less about the awards, more about a good conversation and talking about some great work out there. Amanda Greco is from Shine Entertainment. She spent years shaping the game night experience for teams across sports, helping organizations and teams build stronger atmospheres, strong storytelling, and fan-first entertainment. She's here today to talk about the craft behind great live events, from run-of-show strategies to creative development and the little details that turn a normal night into a memorable one. And if you understand what makes a show truly shine, Amanda Greco is a perfect guide. Welcome, Amanda.
Whoa, what a great introduction. Thank you. So happy to be here.
All off the top of my head.
This is so good. Not rehearsed
at all. You know that's not true. First of all, my eyes were tracking the lines.
Yeah, I saw the eyes. I could see what you're doing.
Exactly. Amanda, it's great to talk to you. And your award, let's jump right into it. Award from Shine On is, not from Shine On, Shine Entertainment. Shine On's Excellence in Execution, which I typically call the Bret Hart Award, who was the Excellence of Execution. And I can tell by the look in your face, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Did you say Bret Hart?
Bret Hart.
Oh, from WWE?
Yeah. That was his gimmick.
I've heard you and Johnny talk about it enough. I know who he is.
He's the hitman, and his like moniker was the Excellence of Execution. So when you said you wanted to honor excellent execution, I was like, well, this is the Bret Hart Award to me.
Oh, okay. Well, we can call it that. I support that decision.
I love it. Yeah. So Amanda, let's talk a little bit about like what that means to you.
Well, first of all, I love this new format because I truly don't believe there is the best of anything. I think it is the best for your team, for your sport. Kudos to you, Kudo. See what I did there? Okay. So, yeah. So excellent execution to me. You know, a lot of times you hear when you're talking to teams, we don't have a North Star. We don't know the direction we're trying to go with our show or with this promotion. We're just doing it because we're doing it and someone told us to, or we saw someone else do it and we want to do it. It looked cool. So execution is something that really fascinates me, and how people get to the point where they put on the final product is a craft and it's an art form, and some people do it really, really well. Part of execution and excellence is doing your research. It's being inspired, first of all, right? Having that inspiration, have the motivation to do something, doing the research, rehearsing, failing a lot, getting in your way a lot, doing a lot of fabulous fails, as we call them. And then each time calibrating a little bit more until the point where you have that excellent execution where everyone can sit back and be like, oh man, that was what we would hope for. That was really cool. It's registering with our fans. And maybe people are talking about it the next day. That's, to me, it was like always kind of the goal is the next day around the water cooler, ding, ding, ding.
Oh.
People are talking about it and you inspire someone else to do another excellent execution of your own.
Yeah, and that water cooler, it's a great example, not to toot our little gimmick on the website. But again, it's what people talk about. And like, Bill Veeck, who was the grandfather of all of this, he just said it's like when you go to the game, it's like that's what you want. You want to go the next day and have something to be like, I went somewhere and I was a part of something. I saw something. And that doesn't happen in the ordinary. Like an ordinary promotion, a lame promotion, poorly executed, it's not going to get you talking unless it's going to be ripping on what you saw last night.
Right, exactly. And we always say like the ultimate compliment, and I don't know if this is realistic, but oh, you went to the game last night, what was the score? Well, you might not remember what the score was, but you had a really great time, and here's some things that happened. I saw the mascot do this funny thing with this kid, and I went here and I had this great usher welcome me to my seat. Like, those are the things that you want to leave with your fans and the guests that come to your events. That's always the goal for any event I'm a part of.
Well, that you want me at your event then, because I never know the score. And like my son asked me last night who won the game, and I was like, I don't even know.
I don't
I
know.
was there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could focus a little bit more on
Maybe I can get it together a little bit more.
Maybe.
So, Amanda, let's talk about you've talked about the research, doing the research, rehearsing, failing, and then succeeding in an excellent way. Do you want to dive into a couple examples?
Well, there's a lot of examples on the fabulous website called GameOps.com under your water coolers. And we had talked about a few of them over the last year or so. There's two, one of them was not on your website that I want to mention, but so the Denver Broncos, obviously, NFL is a hard place to program big events. It's an outdoor venue, they're huge. The NFL kind of says, oh, it's football, we got this. Well, the Denver Broncos a year ago decided they wanted to bring some more prestige and character back to their South Stands, which is kind of their equivalent to the Dog Pound. I don't know that I just know Cleveland, so I don't know any other sections of the NFL like that, but that's their equivalent to the Dog Pound. That's their, it was a place to be in the 80s and 90s, and it kind of has fizzled as the Broncos have not had the best record, and the people that sit there are aging out. And so they thought, well, we could do a TIFO. They were worried that maybe people wouldn't want to hold something above their head. And instead of just promoting and doing something on their own, they had some focus groups over the summertime where they brought in some people that sit in the South Stands and ask some questions like, what do you miss? What makes you proud of being a South Stand member? What would you think if we did X? What would you think if Miles came and did this? And they just kind of asked a bunch of questions. And the feedback that they got said this group was looking for something to unify them and to create that character and that prestige about being in that section again. So kind of magic, and also working with them, their staff got together and they thought, okay, here's our budget. It wasn't a huge budget. We don't want to do the TIFO because it's going to be too time consuming. It's going to be too big. People did not want to have something over their heads. They wanted to see what was going on in the field. So they came up with a card stunt. And it's a simple card stunt. It's an orange card and it has a logo on it. And they time it to We Will Rock You. And they beforehand, before they went to debut it at their first preseason game, they sent out videos with their in-arena host explaining and their mascot and their dance team. Here's what we're expecting from you. Here's what we want you to do. They assigned leaders for each section to go and be in the stands and also in front of the South Stands to show them how to do it. And they were really nervous. So that first time they went to debut it because they didn't know if people were going to participate or not. And it was really unbelievable. From the first preseason game this year, they got immediate buy-in. And it's a great 30 to 45 seconds, depending on how long it takes for them to get to kickoff. For the We Will Rock You, very familiar song, the actual stunt, it looks great in the stadium. We happened to go to a game a couple weeks ago. We saw it live, and we heard people around us. We were not sitting in the south stands. We heard people around us saying, "Where's my card? Why can't I do this?" You know.
I love
So
it.
it was just like, and so they don't even, up until last week with the Kansas City game, they were sending a weekly video to their south stands members saying, "Reminder, we want you to do card stunt. Here's the card stunt. This is how you do it." They wanted to see if they would get the same amount of participation last week without sending the video, and they did. So to me, it just shows, yeah, it took a lot of work and a lot of effort to get it to that level. But it's just, it really is mind-boggling to me. They went from, "I don't think this will work at all. This is a horrible idea," to finding a way to make it work and really register with their fans. It feels really authentic to that team and to that group.
I love that. And I love how that just kind of tracks along with what you talked about before. Research, rehearse, fail, and exceed. I mean, the research there is like the focus groups. And again, I don't think enough teams really spend that time. Like, you want to act like you know what you have planned. And I like that, like being starting from that humble place of like, hey, we may not know exactly what you want or what you want to be part of. So I like that a lot where they went with kind of hat in hand, like what do you want as a fans? Which I think is important. And then what's really interesting here is the example of rehearse, where it's like you're not, your fans are driving this, and the rehearsal is here's how we want you to do this. Here's showcasing and what you do, which is great too, because again, it's like eyes on the prize. And even like teams, when you do a rehearsal, sometimes you can explain an idea until you're like, this is how I want you to hold the card. This is where I want you to turn it. This is the timing. And until people put eyes on it, there's an ism. Amanda, you want to use it?
I the only one I can think of is take the roast out of the oven.
Yes, take the roast out. No, I believe it's
Believe it when you see it.
thank you very much. And so again, like when you see it, that's when people really get buy-in, when they see it. So in this case, you're asking fans to do something they've never seen. Well, you just fix that. You're like, here, I'm gonna show it to you and let you see it first. So I love that. What a great example of again that execution, which starts with research. It's like I gotta understand this. There is another example. Actually, I'm going to throw one quick one in here. We don't want to belabor it, but I did want to shout it out because as I looked at your category, the one that I stood out that to me was the Johan Duran entrance for the pitcher who was traded from the Twins to the Philadelphia Phillies midseason. He had one of those kind of WWE style relief pitcher introductions. Lights go down, tracks music, just an incredible display. It was so good that when he was traded, the Twins and Phillies collaborated so that his entrance would be transferred as part of the trade. And they worked together with the track and the music and the lighting and just talking through what essentially what the Twins had researched and rehearsed and failed and succeeded and created this excellent execution. And they transfer that to Philly and helped them with their new player to, first of all, make him feel at home, which is kind of what those things are about. And as a relief pitcher, that's very much a mental piece. And so to make him feel like it's not a completely new situation with new fans and I don't know what's going on, it's like I'm at home because this is my entrance, which I just love that. I love the sharing. First of all, I love the execution of the twin side. And I love how the Philly and they work together. I thought that was just such a magical piece of a business between the two of them. So I wanted to mention that.
I love that. That also just shows, we're all in the same business, right? Like, we're just trying to make a great experience for everyone in the ballpark, stadium, arena, what have you. The athletes are a big part of that. If they look like they're having a good time, fans are much more likely to support that and get louder and celebrate that moment. So that sense of collaboration and just being one big baseball family, that's really cool. I
Yeah,
like
it's
that a lot.
such a cool example. And I love the player ones. I did work in with WWE and I saw them as they created that. And they're doing it with the talent. They're like, what's going to make you like authentically portray and project your character? And I love that. I don't think Johan Duran is really involved in this. But again, it's going to make him feel comfortable in the transfer, where again, new city, new jersey, new arena, new stadium where you're going. All those things are different for him. One thing's the same. When they tap on the arm and say, hey, bring him in, it's that moment that lifts him up and gets him ready for the next pitch, which I think is just incredible. All
Mic
right,
drop. Well,
Amanda, the moment's come. I know you have somebody that you wanted to shout out. I don't know if you're giving them an award. We'll get to that in a second, but let's talk about the next one.
I would love to give them an award. I think so. Cleveland Cavaliers, this is, I know we're have a little bit of a bias, but
We do.
it's fine. It's fine. They deserve this one. I don't know when the meme started with the Cavalanche, maybe 2 years ago. The social media team or someone in social media land coined the term Cavalanche for when the Cavs went on a huge scoring spree and really kind of changed the trajectory of the game, as you know, runs happen a lot in basketball. So Cavalanche was really everywhere in social media, and the game entertainment team of the Cavs, led by Adam Hines, said, well, what if we brought this idea and we brought it to life in the arena? And side note, our friend Adam Hines is a huge fan of, oh my gosh, I just completely blanked. What's the Chris? Oh, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And they have, and their shows, their Christmas shows, they have indoor snow. And he told us that he'd been like so excited about the idea of indoor snow ever since he started going to these Trans-Siberian Orchestra shows, which he goes to every year, right?
Yep.
So he called around, figured out how he could get the suppliers of those machines that would actually create the snow to snow indoor, got a quote. It was a lot of money, but the Cavs were really excited about it. Adam spent hours and hours researching with lighting, where it would have to be placed, where the best place for the machines to actually hang from, working with the building at Rocket Arena to make sure that it's somewhere where it's not going to interfere with the game and it's going to not cause problems with fans, which is hours and hours of research, right? You go through that, and then you go to your graphics people and you say, okay, what are the graphics we're going to put up on all of our beautiful boards in the arena? They went through different ideations of that. They tested it to see what it looked like. This works. This doesn't work so great. What sound effect are we going to play? What song are we going to play? Let's go into the bowl and just see what it looks like. Let's bring our entertainers out. Let's do this as many times as we can so that when it debuts in the playoffs, it's ready to go. Like it's polished. It looks great. It would be interesting to ask Adam how many hours they actually put, or he even personally put into it, just like rehearsing it and researching it. And the first time they did it in the playoffs, it was awesome. Like it was, they had it was a perfect moment in game, and all their entertainers came out. They had snow goggles on. They had white balls, little mini balls to make them look like snowballs they threw out. They played the song. It was just this huge moment. Everyone on social media was talking about it, how impactful it was. It's just such a cool concept. I know other teams have reached out to the Cavs and said, can you tell us about it? Like, we want to do it just because it is so unique. The execution from the idea to the inspiration from Trans-Siberian Orchestra and the many hours that went into researching it and talking through it and presenting it and putting decks together. Like, I just really want to salute everyone at the Cleveland Cavaliers. They did a great job with Cavalanche, and I can't wait to see it in person.
I have seen it in person. It is awesome. It's so unique that that's what makes it special right now. And like you said, other teams are gonna do it. Who's gonna have a Cavalanche? I mean, that's what
Right.
makes it so cool. Well, Amanda, that is the kind of insight that we wanted. I love the backstory here, which is that excellence doesn't come because you're excellent or because you want it. It comes because you do your homework, and it becomes you because you spend the hours to rehearse and to fail and to fix the fails and then to find all the little inches, if you will, around to make it succeed. So, Amanda, that's exactly what we wanted. You found some excellence of execution. Bret Hart will be smiling. And I appreciate all your insights. This is what we wanted. This is exactly the conversations we wanted. The kudos to you. So thank you for your contributions, and you'll be handsomely rewarded for all this.
Oh, I'm sure. Thanks so much for having me. It was a blast.
Check out all our signature content on GameOps.com, like over 1,500 water cooler posts covering the most talked about promotions. High Five game reviews give you a live look at how the best teams are producing must-see shows. Plus, the giveaway tracker. In-depth Pulse articles on topics like Star Wars Nights, Teddy Bear Tosses, and Military Appreciation Nights. It's all on GameOps.com.
Joining the 2025 Kudos to You award show. You can't have awards without Rob Wykall. Rob is the longtime Coyote performer and now an author and speaker. His book, Philosophy, looks at building genuine human connection and the power of creating memorable moments in life and in costume. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, John, thanks for having me, man.
Well, Rob, like I said, I don't mean this as a joke. You can't have a truly great award without you involved. You were one of the great minds in game presentation. And I say that without, what am I trying to say here?
I'll pay
I
you
mean
later.
that. I mean that. I let you know I love talking shop.
Yeah, I love talking shop with you, man. And I appreciate you saying that, although I don't agree with you. First thing I'd like to say in this awards
Well,
ceremony.
let's do this. Let's see where it goes, and then we'll decide if it's any
Yeah,
good or
right.
not.
Okay, afterwards, we can let the people decide.
So, Rob, what I've told five of our guests is that you have an award. Kudos to you. You're giving away some kudos. And it's just really up to you. And the one thing what I did is for all of our guests, I kind of fed an idea and let you decide whether you like it or not. You, of course, wrote the book on masconing in some ways, philosophy, your awesome book. And we wanted to base that a little bit on your philosophy and what it takes to be a great mascot. And you obviously have this great history of being a mascot. So your award is focused on, it's kind of a mascot award, if you will.
Yes and no. I say when I was a mascot, I wanted to create impact. And so I talk about that in the book, that I wanted to create impactful moments for fans, right? Through certain ways that I chose to mascot. And that doesn't have to necessarily be a mascot. I just would say your typical most impactful asset at a game is your mascot. And if it's not, then you should be looking at your game presentation.
New mascot.
And your mascot. Yeah. But so when we had that conversation and I thought, I want to focus on impact because I feel like that's a great term for what we're really there to do. What game presentation
Right,
overall
right.
is its purpose is to impact human beings. I can't think of a great example of an impactful drumline. Right? Like a lot of other interactive teams, I never found were as impactful to me as mascots. And because not knock to a drumline, just mascots are put in that position. They're
Right.
paid accordingly. They're asked to be that. And so when I started to think about who I find impactful in sports, I think Stuff the Magic Dragon is a great performer, possibly one of my favorite in all of sports. But it's like he's the MVP, maybe in his arena. When I did mascot, it was about the arena. It was about in my community and being as big and as popular as I could be in that community. And social media had come around, John, but not to the effect that it is now, that the impact you can create as a mascot is really as large, if not larger, on a social
Oh yeah,
media
it's
scale than it
massive,
is in life. Right.
massive.
So I really thought about that. So while I can name mascots, and I'm sure you can too, who are very good in costume, impactful in front of that 20,000 or ish people in an arena and game nights and in their community, I was trying to think of somebody who's really stepped up to the plate of technology. I just made that term up. You're welcome. A plate of technology. So
The table
with
setting of
that,
technology.
the
Twitter is the fork of
spoon,
technology.
the butter of technology is Blue from Indianapolis Colts. He's the guy that I feel like has spread it out across this world more. And the numbers showed it, right? And to be honest, I personally, I know the guy. I've never really met him. I don't know what he does in the community necessarily a lot, right? What I do know are the numbers of his impact that are crazy. And that's why my kudos award for impact goes to Blue.
Well,
What
it
do you
is.
think?
I love it, and it's impossible to ignore. Like you said, the numbers. I'll let you spill them since you shared them. Do you have them in front
I don't, but I know
of
they're
you? So
large. It's
you said
probably
it to
like a
me, and you're like,
jillion. It's about a million-ish thousand
You sent me
jillion.
some numbers, and I assumed you didn't make up, but it was like, some of the
No.
views he's having is like, 475 million views, 17 million likes. I mean, things like that across the social platform. I know he has like 5 or 7 million followers on
Yeah, I think it
TikTok.
oh, total, it's I want to say with total social media, it's like 7 million plus. But what got me, and I can't remember again the stat, John, but I remember something hitting me that I want to say his reach is larger than
Oh, it's a lot of
maybe not
baseball
his
teams.
teams, yeah, but a lot of actual teams. His reach is larger.
Well, and
That's
we had,
nuts.
we it is nuts. We had Trey on the podcast a while back, and I can't remember if this was a conversation I had with them offline or online, but they actually, again, like in terms of revenue, in terms of what they're doing there, they're actually selling it. Like when you buy a sponsorship there, you can buy, add to your package. Yes, we're going to have a blue
He's an
Instagram post.
influencer,
He's a
right? He's a
complete influencer,
legitimate
super powerful. And
influencer that would be valuable
oh yeah,
on any
crazy valuable.
level if he wasn't with the team. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, as you talked about that, like we were both old enough to have performed in kind of pre and post internet. And I remember I was with the WNBA team in around 2000. And I just remember going from like where you're in costume performing, that's where people see you and know you. That's where you build your character and you define who you are. And then I realized, I remember it was off season once, and they're like, hey, can you do something online? Because they had a website and they're like, we need something happening. And I started writing a column, like a weekly or biweekly column. I shouldn't say
That
biweekly.
sounds so like you, by
And
the
I know exactly.
way.
And so, but the whole thing was, I felt like I'm getting in costume and I'm sharing my character. And so for me, it was like growth opportunity where I'm actually like expanding who I am
You
and
spoke
knowing how
as
I
the
think.
character
Yes.
in these
And
blogs. The
yeah. And so
character
it's
was
like, this is
blogging and
essentially, it was essentially a performance, behind a typewriter. But, you think about that impact that you're having when you post like that. I don't know the numbers from that, but again, let's think about Blue, where he's got 7 million followers. Like at that time, if you're a mascot in the NBA, on the upside, your live performances would be like a million fans a year. He has
correct.
7 million followers that he can hit with a tweet today. I mean, that's mind-bending, the exponential growth that's happened for the characters and the possibility to share your character with people across platforms and across, like you said, globally. That's like incredible. And like the way Blue capitalized on that, like I said, whether it's just having fun pieing someone in the face or sharing what the Colts are doing in the community and expanding on the sponsorship platform and the sponsorship relationships that the team has, it's an incredible impact. So I mean, I love where you went with this. Like you said, it's not a subjective thing, like, oh, he's the funniest or he's the best, because that's a weird subjective piece to come across as. And again, for a lot of people, it's kind of like, hey, it's hard to pinpoint the best when I've only seen these guys live. Like you said, you've never
Right.
seen them live. So again, I love what you're thinking there too, and that your philosophy. I kind of like softly mispronounced that word, so you don't know if I'm quoting your book or if I'm just saying your philosophy.
Yeah, I like it. I appreciate
You're
that.
welcome.
We don't want
But
to give me
I do
any.
love that it fits the philosophy of saying, hey, you have to have impact, and that impact can come from those social platforms in addition to what you do in costume in front of your fans.
Well, not only can it should today. Right.
Oh, totally,
If
totally.
you so when I, and you and I mascot in those same times, right? That I started the Coyote social media platforms. Simply same reason that the team was like, hey, Coyote should have some social media. And I was like, why? I'm really busy already.
I'm working.
I'm busy working. So I in my own naivete, start these things, and I don't know what to do except speak as the coyote,
Right,
give the
right.
coyote a voice. And that's all I ever knew was I don't want to be a sales guy for
Right.
the team. I don't want the coyote to be relegated to salesman here. So I'm only going to post bits, funny things that I see in the world that are funny from a coyote's From
Right.
the coyote's point of view. That's all I ever did. And it did super well. And I thought, well, this is another avenue of creativity for
Right,
me
right.
that I don't get. I loved it. But I never imagined it being a sellable, monetizable asset at that time. For me, it was just fun. And he has taken it, Trey has taken it to such a different level that I'm almost surprised we're not seeing more of that from other mascots. I don't know if it's they don't know how, they just choose not to what it is, but man, if I was a mascot now, I would be like, how do I beat Trey?
Right. Good
That's
luck.
what I don't really like. I got the in my arena, I'm popular. In my town, they're gonna like me. How do I grow outside of that world.
Right.
That's a real challenge of creativity and fun.
I love it. And I, like you said, love the impact. So Rob, you're talking about impact, and you took this as the impact you want to grow as social media, whether it's views or likes and shares and that impact you're doing exponentially. I wanted to share a little story that I have about Gritty, who I met over the summer. And one of the I don't want to actually want to say what he said because I don't think it was in confidence, but again, it's more of what he was saying as opposed to the specifics. But one of the things he said was, I'm doing X because I know that's exactly what my team wants. That's the impact they want me to have. And it was so smart because he realized that what the team wanted might be different than his own thing. And I'll give you a little tangible example. When about 10 years ago, I was super into Twitter in character. And I literally would wake up every day just trying to tweet funny things, trying to grow influence. There was a social media metric that I was just obsessed with. And but again, what I found was the team didn't really care about that. They didn't know about the metric. They didn't track like that. And it didn't really, they weren't really interested in that in any way. Again, and it's not a bad thing. It was kind of what I was into and it drove me. But what Gritty was doing was he's found what the team, what his team, the Flyers, want out of him. And that's what he drives at. And Blue's another good example. The team does value social media activity and hits and activations. And like you said, like we said, they sell it. And so I thought it was really important for a mascot when you're looking at how do I have impact? Impact may not mean views online, because that might not be important to your team. And so, as a performer, almost all of us work for a company, for a team. And I think part of that impact is finding out, and sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. You know, in fact, I'm thinking Grady's case, he was like, I was doing X because I thought that they really wanted that. In fact, what he was doing social media, getting big traction, and he found out that they kind of don't really care about that. Like he would be like, that thing got 6 million hits. And they were like, cool, go do this because that's what they cared about.
Interesting.
And so,
Yes.
and the reason I say that is because when you're looking for how to have impact, sometimes it's like you have to find out what the target is and what sometimes it's not your target. It might not be what you're good at, what you thrive on, but like it's also what they're going to acknowledge, what they're going to reward you for, and it's what they're going to get behind. So, in the case of Blue, the Colts love that social media activation. They back that when he does something, when he has an idea
They
about
push
going
it.
on the, they're like, yes, let's do that. They get on their media channels. They do that. They enhance what he's doing. And so I think a lot of finding impact is finding out what does your team want? What's the impact that they want?
That is such a great insight. That might be the smartest thing I've ever heard you say. And I've heard you say a lot of things
Wow.
that were not smart, John.
I do say
So,
sometimes that.
seriously, that is really good insight. And it makes you. You made me change my thought process because
Is the award up for grabs again? Oh, okay.
the award is not up
I
for
already
grabs.
texted Trey.
However, I'm sure he was like, whatever. Did he tweet it out
Didn't
though?
tweet
At
it
least
yet.
did he put it
He
on
didn't tweet
social
it yet.
media?
He's probably
Is it big enough
crafting it
for
right
that?
now.
Yeah, I'd like to be, tagged in that, please. Now that'll be I'll grow as a
That's the
social
goal
media
here.
influencer. Yeah. Nowadays, my reinvention of myself, I do digital marketing. And if you are going to digitally market for a client, if they want you to get out there and build that brand online, the first question is, what do you want? Because you want to craft a campaign after what that client is going for. It might just be awareness. It might be e-commerce. It might be, a new store opening. There's so many different ways to craft that campaign. And that's what you're saying. And that's so smart that you could go out there as a digital marketing agency. I always think we could go out there and kill it. But if it's not what they want, they're still going to fire us.
Right. Well, and again, in any
So
business,
smart.
you're looking for a metric to measure. And again, that impact sometimes it's like, what are
Right.
we measuring? Because what you just said, if you're out there doing digital content, you may go, I got a great idea that's going to get big laughs and it's going to get shared a lot. And you may think that metric's going to be awesome because I'm going to get a lot of likes, I'm going to get a lot of shares. But if their target is e-commerce, they're like, we need you to click on this to buy this product and they sell three of them next month. you're not going to keep that client.
You're a failure.
Yeah, you're
You're a
having
failure in their
impact, but
mind.
not in the way that they want you to. So I did love where he was really dialed in, gritty that is, dialed in on what his team wants. And again, he was doing social media and killing it. His numbers are amazing too. But he found out the team wasn't, they're kind of like, oh, that's awesome. Congrats. But it wasn't what drove them. And until he started doing that internally, he wasn't treated the same way. So a lot of mascots are out there like, hey, my team doesn't appreciate what I do. This team, you know, the classic battle where, of management and mascot, where you're like, hey, trying to hit what you want. That conversation about what is it? What's the impact target that you want me to have? Well, Rob, I love it. I love the Impact Award, and congratulations to Blue on the first ever Impact Award from Rob
Hey, if you
Wycol.
didn't win, don't be blue, or
Oh,
do be blue, and then
I
maybe
get
you'll
it.
win next year.
But I love that we kind of unearthed a little bit here about impact is one thing, but also finding impact and finding a way to do it on your team's terms, essentially.
Correct.
Think we learned something here, Rob.
Yeah, I want to go deeper into this. I'll be on next month. I'm
Well,
starting my own podcast. It's called Impact.
the Impact Podcast.
Philosophy, philosophy, impact.
Love it, Rob. Thanks so much for coming on, and
Party
thanks
in the front.
for the party in the front. Thanks for coming on and helping us redefine our award show. And I think this is actually totally what I wanted. Just a good discussion. Talk about someone who's doing great work, like Blue, like Gritty, and then find out why. And that's what it comes down to, is how do we learn from what these guys are doing.
Yeah, I always love talking to you, John. It's great. So thank you so much, man.
Connect with your biggest fans with Mascot Link. Help your mascot organize and track in-game seat visits with our powerful software. Generate revenue with VIP experiences for fans, like in-game seat visits and local holiday deliveries. Visit mascotlink.com. That's mascot-link.com to get started.
On today's Party in the Back, Kudos to You edition, we're joined by the one and only Cameron Hughes, the Canadian national treasure, sports original hype man, and the world's most relentless believer in lifting people up. For over 3 decades, Cameron's been the guy in the stands for people, not just in front of people. That spark that reminds an arena full of strangers to cheer louder, smile bigger, and support the person next to them. Cameron's not about noise, he's about noticing. He looks out for those who need a boost and deserve a moment and who can be cheered on today. From the NBA Finals to community rinks, his superpower has always been the same, turning individual encouragement into a collective energy. Today, he adds some of that collective energy to Kudos to You in his award category, Stand Up for Something. Stand for something. Stand up for something. Welcome, Cameron. Help me
Cheer
out.
for something. Cheer
Cheer
for
for
like
something.
that intro. I'd cheer for that intro. That
Cheer for something.
was fantastic. After how many years, I finally get a great intro.
I get it right.
You did it right.
You stopped listening after I said Canadian national treasure. That's all you care
Yeah,
about.
that's my favorite line of all time. I love coming on this, especially after doing a game. I just did a game, and you get this buzz and adrenaline in you that lasts for a little while. So always great to connect with you and your audience.
And I love having you on, Cameron. You're one of those performers who you don't only get like the piece that you're doing, how to get people to stand up and take notice and cheer and add energy to the arena, but you also kind of understand, not kind of, you also understand game presentation and how to assemble that into something bigger than yourself. So it's great to have you on. I love that you're here for the awards. This is the first annual Kudos to You. It's our sloppy pun on my last name. But every one of our guests has their own category. Yours is about cheer for someone, and that's kind of your whole deal. Give us a little thumbnail about Cameron Hughes and someone to cheer for someone. I'm getting the
Yeah,
name
I mean,
wrong.
I've always believed in this concept called the power of cheer, how we open our hearts to the idea of celebrating and supporting someone. And I really believe that sports has this unique way to unite us and bring us together collectively. And when I look back at my career, it's like, how cool has it been for me to be part of all these collective community events celebrating, people, causes, community events, et cetera. And it's powerful, when you bring a community together, no matter the size of the community. So I love the idea of celebration. It's a big part of what I do. And I think it's always great to take a minute to celebrate important things that mean something to people and opens their heart.
I love it. Let's talk initially, and this one's not a little less about heart, but as you said, unite us collectively. It makes me think of a promotion. It wasn't really a promotion, but a water cooler that we did. And it surrounds the Oklahoma City Thunder and what they did during the playoffs, which if you caught it on TV, it was magical. I mean, the connective power, the way they unite their crowd, actually, it's actually referred to as cult-like by some of the media members that we have in the water cooler story. But they have a thing where they're just standing up and chanting OKC. They're united as a community around this team. To say it's powerful is a total understatement. It, like you said, it's almost cult-like. They're like zombies chanting because they're so completely focused on their community. And to me, that's sort of like the starting point of what you talk about when you're saying unite us collectively. You want to talk a little bit about that promotion? What you
yeah,
saw there?
I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a lot of games in OKC. First of all, I think they're one of the best fan bases in the NBA. You know, it's interesting. Once you get a fan base to understand a tradition slash cheer slash moment, it's almost like, you know, they're going there expecting it, like a great sitcom. You have like certain moments that happen that you're waiting for. And when you can get a fan base to understand that, I mean, win or lose, look what they got to be experienced, right? As an entire arena, right? Like as much as the Jumbotron and you know, you produce these hits that work, when you can have the entire arena, stadium doing something together, I mean, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it, right? Like every fan in that building that's chanting OKC is like, I am a part of this. This is my team. This is my city. This is my tribe. These are my people.
Yes.
Like that's everything to me, you know? And I think that when you can understand that and, you know, I don't know if the right word is teach, but lead by example to create that. I mean, and then make it become a tradition. Woo.
Yeah.
I mean,
as you're talking, I was writing that down. It's a tradition. It starts with training, like you said, teaching them what to do. And then it becomes a bond. It becomes like, this is who we are. And you've done it once. You're going to do it every single time. And again, you're doing it with your neighbor who may be doing it for the first time or the 50th time. But it's something that unites you all and brings you together. And we've been calling it here on the podcast and on the website, the secret handshake. Where it's like you're two fans now who know something together and that bonds you together. Those traditions, which again, are kind of sometimes can be little campy anecdotes about your team name or about your community, but they become a piece where it's like, I know this because I'm with this tribe, like you said.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a powerful piece. And the OKC one, again, it's a cool piece. If you watch this little clip that we have, you know, the media's kind of laughing, but they're like, it's like a cult. These guys are just chanting it together. But again, it's that total unity.
It's not a cult. It's not a cult. I think that's, I call BS on that. Like,
I think he means that in a funny way, because it just has that feeling like everyone's so in on it.
I also think the other thing that really hits me hard is like, there's a lot of teams that have probably tried to start things like this. And then they're like, you know what? Didn't work. Let's just stop, right? But you got to keep going. Like,
yeah, I think that's such a powerful piece where it's like teaching and then embracing everyone who does it with you. Let's talk about a couple more. So, you know, we talked about that one. That one's more about community. I think there's an element too where it's like standing up for somebody that can be done on an individual level. And we have one of the many teams who have done this, and it's the Ring My Bell. So kids who beat cancer. And we have a story here. I believe I should have.
Yeah, that's a light topic. I like. It's like, I mean.
But we have, you know, I know the Philadelphia 76ers have done it. The Atlanta United is the example that we had looked at. But again, it's like sharing that standing up for somebody, sharing that feeling where you're bringing out the kid who just beat cancer. They had a private moment in the hospital with the nurses and the doctors and everybody who helped them and their families. And now teams are extending that and sharing that with 20,000 or 40,000 people. And those moments are incredibly powerful. So talk about that, how that can be part of a game presentation.
Talk about goosebumps and, you know, hold the Kleenex. But I really believe on a deep, deep level, like the power of cheer that I talk about a lot is how when you support someone, you support something. When you absolutely take the filter off and you give your love to someone, what the difference it makes. Now imagine that kid, right? You see look in the face of that kid, that they're at their favorite team and 20,000 people are saying, hey kid, we got you, right? I mean, that lasts, I mean, I don't, probably a lifetime, but, and then it gives the community a chance to say, hey, we got you, kid. And the team saying, hey, we're part of something bigger here.
Yeah.
That to me is every, that's the, Kudo, like that's the big thing for me. When you go to these games, we all have our individual thing that we want to get out of it, our favorite team, our favorite player, our be with our friends. But ultimately, I've said this for my whole life, you're part of something bigger when you go to that game, right?
Well, so and these moments cement that for you. That's what I love. Cement,
right? And so you leave, and when you see, you know, that team jersey that, you know, Atlanta United, and you're like, oh my God, like that. I was at that game where they did that bell for that kid who was fighting cancer. Oh my God, what a night. Like there's a big effect that lasts longer than just ringing the bell in that community. Right. And maybe you're watching that saying, you know what? I've got a friend fighting cancer. They weren't at the game tonight, but I'm going to go quote unquote, ring the bell for them somehow. Mm. Right. And that's like when the power of sports elevates us all and trickles out in ways that, you know, I've always asked sports executives and teams, like, how do we know, right? How do we know what else happens after this? Which we don't know. But what if it did, right?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
I thought of something when I saw this, in that there's that expression, you know, kind of give everyone some grace, because you never know the battle that someone else is fighting. And in some ways, and first of all, the battle's been won. This kid's a beat cancer. So I love that. But it almost like kind of reminds people, like, God, there's people out there fighting every day for something, whether it's, you know, for their IEP for their kid, or fighting cancer or a sickness or a sick parent or whatever it is. There's people out there battling. And in sports, I actually am like, sometimes I think we lean a little too much into the bringing people down, where it's like, you know, a moment of silence. And that can be a little overdone sometimes, because you want to honor people. This is that chance where you're giving someone a nod about winning. They won. This is always uplifting. And so I love where this comes from. I love what it does. And I think that it's a reminder about battles, even though it's like, you know, it's not a lost battle. It's someone who's won their battle.
Yeah. And anytime you can celebrate wins, you know, you make people feel good. And when you make people feel good, they, you know, they want to cheer more. They want to get more involved. They, you know, and ultimately, you know, if I'm the head of entertainment for a game, that's what I want people to feel. Right. And I don't think it's on a visceral level, it's not that complicated. On a deeper level, it can be, but you can't make it complicated. It's got to be simple, right? Like, kudos to that team.
There we go. Now we're on brand. And, you know, I had a couple other examples.
Give me one.
I'll give you one. This one, okay. I really loved. Clemson University did their salute to service. And everyone does this. Everyone does a salute to service and does it in different ways. I love the piece that they did here, where instead of, like, from the stand, showing people in the crowd, giving them the big salute, whatever, they did something more. And, again, not everyone can do this, or maybe they can. But what they did is they said, hey, here's our salute service. Our players literally walked out of the dugouts. This was a baseball. They walk out of the dugout, walk into the stands, and they're shaking people's hands who are standing, the servicemen and women who are standing. And I just thought that was like the ultimate, like, we're with you. And again, we talk about the community, you talk about bonding and having and cheering for someone. That's the ultimate. It's not even like waving from the dugout. It's beyond that. It's like taking that next step and work reaching out. And I thought that was a really powerful example of, again, it's like just taking that little extra step and building community and cheering for someone.
Anytime you can touch the athletes that you're going to support and they come out and thank you and thank the community, I mean, I don't think, like, you're hitting every single element of what makes an experience powerful for the customer, right?
Yeah.
And the customer, like, the surprise factor is beautiful. The fact that they, like, are a little vulnerable being in the stands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're celebrating, you know, people's commitment to the military and their service is like, are you kidding me? You know, yeah. I mean.
Amazing.
I think that, you know, that video is something that every team should look at and go, okay, what else can we do? You know, nurses and doctors and teachers and people that are in our community. And look, here's the thing. The other thing that I think, you can't overdo it, but you've got to pick the right spots and do it.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. For sure. I'm going to talk about one. And, you know, we've had five guests on the Kudos to You edition of the podcast this month. And I don't know what order it will be in. Ben Hill shared a story about the Iowa Cubs. And I want to bring this back because we talk about stand up and stand for something. And the Iowa Cubs, he tells a story about how on July 4th, to honor America, one of the things they do, the promotion, and again, I apologize for stepping on Ben's story if we put this out of order. But one of the things they do is they do the naturalized American citizen swearing in ceremony at the game. And to me, it's like baseball, apple pie. It's everything. That's what America's made out of, is immigration. And so I love that. But when I say stand up for something, is that's all of a sudden sort of become a political hot button right now, is like, you know, immigration and all that kind of thing now. And Ben said that the team sort of gets this a little bit of blowback now, as opposed to being this really genuine, great moment that in the past has now taken a little bit of a turn and it's become a little questionable. And he said, it's like, it's amazing that they just chose to stand up and they still make that statement. They still do that, which I just love that that's kind of saying like, no, that's who we are. And that's the message we want to send. So that, go ahead.
Look, I mean, I understand the whole, you know, as a Canadian, the whole thing with politics, especially now, but like, you can't, what are you going to not do military night because you don't believe in someone's political views right now?
Because you might stomp on someone's political thought. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But I mean, I'm not joking. Where do you draw the line? Right. I mean, look, the Canada-US thing's something that's a hot topic too. And, you know, Canadians have not been booing the U.S. anthem, despite what people are saying. Politicians are saying about Canada. Like, and that's like, so what are we going to do? Stop playing the U.S. Canadian anthems? No. Right?
We're going to stop having you on is what we're going to do. That's like the first step.
If someone really wants to unite people across all aisles. And, you know, other than my tattoo that I have, my Canadian flag on my entire back, I think that you have to maintain the tradition that you did despite what's happening is sort of my point. Yeah. I don't think you add fire to it, but I don't think because, you know, five people are going to be upset about it, you should ever stop a promotion.
Well, that's part of standing up for what you believe in too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the team and the vision is bigger than a few little complaints, you know. And I mean, speaking of which, you know, Hockey Fights Cancer in the NHL has been going on right now. And what I love about that is how much the players are involved in supporting it. Like, you see players visiting hospitals, and then you see the kids or people affected by it, like getting the jersey before the game, and the players come out, and then they come on the ice and everyone takes a picture, and, you know, they share stories on the Jumbotron. But then also what happened is, all the other minor league hockey teams, and there's hundreds in North America, they have their own Hockey Fights Cancer Nights, you know, and it brings a lot of attention to this awful, awful disease that's affected everyone, you know, but they do it in a way that's like, there's obviously sorrow in it, but it's also like a really back to this whole message of celebration. Mm-hmm. I did a game on recently, and I knew that a fan had come up to me and said, "Hey, that woman over there just beat cancer." Mm. So I go to her and I go, "I hear you're celebrating something." And she looks at me and goes, "Yeah, because I'm bleeping alive." And I hug her and I start to get emotional. I say, "Yeah, my mom had cancer and she didn't beat it. And I'm so proud of you." And I hug her and we had this incredible moment. And I was like, "Okay, I got to go before these Kleenex," like, you know what I mean? But like, that's a complete strange woman in a crowd who was we were vulnerable together, and we celebrated her win ultimately, right? And that arena allowed us to do that, right? I ran into her in the mall and she had a cancer shirt on, I'm not going to be talking to her,
right?
Maybe I would, but you know what I mean. So, kudos to all the people that celebrate that.
I love it. And on that note, Cameron, I know, because we talked a little bit about this, we're not going to name a winner, because anybody who's out there building this community, whether it be through traditions or through promotions, we're all winners because of this. This is why we get together as a community with sports teams. This is why we get together and chant OKC or cheer for that kid who's ringing the bell. And I think that that kind of shows you that this thing that we all do is bigger than, you know, a cheap laugh or, you know, a rousing applause. And this can be a lot bigger. And, you know, I had a great conversation with another one of our guests, Eric Mertens, Eric the Peanut guy. And he just noted about, you know, how sports is about, it's about community, but it's also on a micro level, it's about families. It's about going to the game with your daughter or your son and having those moments and giving them something to connect and bond around. And I think that that's a really a powerful piece that I don't think we forget about it, but sometimes you want to just shake yourself and think about how important that is, that it might be more important than anything else that we're doing.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, at the end of the season, the NBA, NHL, NFL, there's only one team that technically wins the championship, right? Mm-hmm. But game in, game out, you can win in the stands. You can win by creating these incredible moments for your fans, for your customers, for people who are giving 3-4 hours of their night or their day to come and be part of something. So to keep celebrating that in the community, bigger than anything that's bigger than all of us, kudos to everyone that does that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes these promotions remarkable. It's like those are lasting memories. Every one of the people who, whether it's the kid who rings the bell, or the fans that just get goosebumps because they're amongst 20,000 people like-minded around one topic. That's what bonds us. And I think that's important.
Well, I agree. And I really hope we keep, you know, win or lose, you know, I've talked to a lot of execs in sports from every level and, you know, you can't control what happens on the ice of the field, but you certainly can in the stands. So keep bringing that celebration and cheer.
Don't miss the daily water cooler on GameOps.com. Every weekday, we post a promotion, a theme night, a giveaway, or an activation that got people talking. Last month, we added over 20 water cooler posts. It's so important to us that we have a big water cooler graphic on every page so you can find us and join that conversation. This month at the water cooler, we looked at scoreboard speed dating from the Tampa Bay Lightning, Barbie night from the Tucson Roadrunners, and we looked at the leading man for the new Anaheim Ducks comeback scoreboard videos, Ben Afquak. Plus, Claudio Castagnoli crashed Devil's game, and we covered it. See everything people are talking about at the water cooler Monday through Friday on GameOps.com. Now, that is a wrap for the December 2025 edition of the Party in the Back podcast on GameOps.com. Kudos to you, special edition. Thank you for listening. Keep an eye on that homepage, plus Twitter and Instagram, for new content every week. And I encourage you to visit GameOps.com for the latest ideas, inspiration, and tools to make your show shine. Big thanks to everyone who listens, reads, and supports us here at GameOps.com. And thank you for spreading the word about this podcast. Do us a favor. If you're on Instagram, give us a follow at GameOps.com. That's all spelled out, GameOpsDotCom, and mascot link. We're posting and reposting a ton of fun GameOps content, plus some of those VIP fan experiences from the top mascots in sports. Huge thanks to our producer, the very excellent Chad Gephardt. And thank you for joining us. We'll be back next month on the Party in the Back with all the talk and analysis about that fun side of sports marketing. For my guests, Amanda Greco, Rob Wycall, Cameron Hughes, Eric the Peanut Guy, and Ben Hill, and shouts out to Abby Murphy, Izzy Gerasi, and Becky Greenan. This is John Kudo wishing you a happy holidays and signing off. But please, let's keep the party going.
Thanks for joining us on the Party in the Back podcast. We'll see you next time.